Second hour on this Tuesday. Next man up, 102.5. The Game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Entering week three of the NFL season, and every year the conversation is had around teams that start 2-0, teams that start 0-2. So this hour, we're going to look at the 10-2-0 teams, the 10-0-2 teams, see who might have gotten out to a lucky start and falls back to earth, who got off to a slow start that could still make the playoffs. But first, I did want to touch on Joe Burrow and the turf toe injury, torn ligaments, going to miss 3 months. I know you were very high on the Bengals, Nick Frazier, when we did our predictions a couple of weeks ago. The Bengals are 2-0. Jake Browning looked pretty good down the stretch in that game against the Jaguars, and I believe he was 4-3 when Burrow missed time a couple years ago. Do we think the Bengals can stay afloat until Joe Burrow returns, which wouldn't be until the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season?
I think it's possible. Like we talked earlier about the Broncos being a beatable team. I mean, they take on the Vikings this Sunday, and Vikings are without J.J. McCarthy, so you got to look at that as a Carson Wentz game. And if I was just telling Parker in the break, maybe Kevin O'Connell resurges Carson Wentz's career by turning him into a serviceable quarterback again. I don't know. But I think it's on the table. I think they can kind of get by without Joe Burrow. Maybe they don't go 15-1, but it's besides the point. I think they can beat the Vikings. They beat the Broncos. I think they lose to the Lions and maybe the Packers. Steelers game will be a little tough. Jets game is doable, and then they get to the Bears November the 2nd, and yeah, then it does get a little dicey. So.
It's a tough schedule for this Bengals team while Joe Burrow is gone. Let's say they said 3 months, so 3 months from Sunday would exactly be December 14th against the Ravens. That is Sunday, December 14th. So if Joe Burrow is able to return for the last four games of the year, to be in the playoff hunt, you'd guess they'd have to be 7-6 at that point, right around there, to have a chance to get into the playoffs, right around 500, maybe 6-7. They've got some tough games. Like you mentioned, the Lions, Packers, Ravens, Bills. It's not going to be easy, Broncos. But Browning has looked good when he's been out there. It's just tough for this Bengals team, and I wonder if Burrow's starting to fall behind the rest of those quarterbacks in the AFC, because it's clear he's just as talented as Mahomes and Allen and Jackson in that tier of when he's healthy and he's got a good team around him, he can beat anybody on any given Sunday. But he's falling behind because everything around him has not been equal to what those other guys have. The offensive line has basically been horrible since he's been there. Mm-hmm. The defense can never get it figured out, and the Bengals nearly cheaped out and lost both of their top two edge rushers this offseason. He always has good wide receivers. We'll give him that. He's had T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase basically since he entered the league. But it's like the Bengals might be finding a way to ruin Joe Burrow. I saw somebody this week compare Burrow to Andrew Luck.
Yes.
And I wonder if maybe we're getting into that territory of like, hey, is Joe Burrow ever going to live up to the talent that he has because he can't stay healthy and the team doesn't seem to want to surround him with talent?
You took the words right out of my mouth. I think he is the modern-day Andrew Luck, and it's unfortunate because the Bengals, like you said, they get stuck in their ways. If they could just get a serviceable offensive line, I think this team is a Super Bowl-caliber team. Like, that's all they're missing is offensive line help, really. And it's unfortunate because they have the intangibles to really do something, and they don't want to help it out.
I mean, to see your second-year quarterback take you to the Super Bowl when he gets sacked 9 times in a playoff game, like, I know it's, you know, everybody having PTSD around Nashville right now, but to get to the Super Bowl in 2021 with that offensive line was so impressive. And they just haven't really done anything to invest. Like, I get they've paid T. Higgins. They've paid Ja'Marr Chase. They've got those guys locked up. Mm-hmm. But they don't seem to want to go for it in Cincinnati. And you've got the pieces to go for it. You have the core to go for it. And they just haven't. You got to find a way to protect Joe Burrow. And every year it seems like we're talking about the offensive line is letting Joe Burrow get killed. We go back to the age-old meme graphic that came out when they were deciding whether they wanted Ja'Marr Chase or Penei Sewell. It's Joe Burrow on the ground with anyone blocking, Ja'Marr Chase standing wide open in the end zone, or Penei Sewell blocking for Joe Burrow, and you can find another wide receiver in the end zone. Maybe I get Ja'Marr Chase the best wide receiver in the league.
Yeah.
But, like, they haven't invested in the offensive line, and it continues to shoot them in the foot every single year.
Yeah, I look at the Bengals as a business-like organization. Like Humpty Dumpty's on the middle of the wall, right? He's almost going to teeter off. He's not going to teeter on, whatever it may be. It's almost like if the Bengals' season goes down the crapshoot, they're going to start offloading people just for, like, assets.
I mean,
I'm not saying, like, Ja'Marr Chase or Joe Burrow or anybody like that, but, like, you know, some rotational guys.
I mean, they're well-known as the cheapest organization in the league.
Yeah. Yeah, you look at it as more of a profit than you do as a go-all-in type thing. So it's just about the mindset of the front office. Simply, it comes down to that.
You just look around the AFC and you see all these talented quarterbacks and these organizations that are putting them in situations to succeed. And, like, Patrick Mahomes maybe is different, but, like, he's got Andy Reid with him, mm-hmm. and the offensive line's not always perfect, but Mahomes might be a little bit different. But Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, like, they're in these really well-run organizations with good coaches, and the Bengals just can't seem to figure it out. I wonder if Zach Taylor maybe gets a pass because of the injury to Joe Burrow if they're not very good this year and they miss the playoffs again. But I wouldn't hate for the Bengals if they just started over and, you know, clean house, bring in a new head coach, and see if you can go all in a little bit. Go get some offensive linemen and trade up to go get a guy who can protect Joe Burrow. Invest in your defense a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Like, they could have extended Trey Hendrickson. Instead, they just gave him a one-year raise, and he's probably going to hit free agency next year. It's tough. It's tough to look over at the Bengals, and I'm looking at that schedule. I like Jake Browning. I don't know if Jake Browning can keep it afloat for 3 months while Joe Burrow's gone.
I mean, hey, Bengals, if you guys are in a playoff push later down the road, you guys want Kevin Zeitler? Well, that'd be all right. I'd be okay with that if I'm a Titans fan. Just awfully Kevin Zeitler. He's here for, what, 1 year, right?
Yeah.
Bye. Hasta luego.
Zeitler hasn't been great so far. I believe his PFF grade has been one of the lowest for the Titans. Again, I'm not a PFF guy, but if you're looking for just basic offensive line evaluation, I think he had a 55 this week.
Yeah.
Dan Moore was actually, I think, the second highest graded Titans offensive player. So I didn't think he played that well. That didn't match the eye test, but
I don't know where these numbers are adding up, but that ain't right.
And maybe it's just it is one of those things of when you notice a tackle, you remember the bad plays. Similar to the reaction around L'Jarius Sneed this week of, like, people just remember him getting burnt by Devontae Adams, and that is the memory burned into their mind. They're like, L'Jarius Sneed played bad. Maybe that's where I was with Dan Moore of, like, I saw him get burnt a couple times around the edge, and I'm like, he had a bad game. Maybe he was better than I thought. But who knows?
I think you're spot on. No, you're okay. You're not over-exaggerating.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have thoughts, you can text or call. One of my friends over at Vandy Women's Basketball is a Bengals fan, Chris Caskey. Shout out Chris Caskey. And he does want to remind us that they did sign Orlando Brown to be their left tackle after he won a Super Bowl with the Chiefs. So the Bengals, at the very least, did put some investment into the offensive line. So shout out Chris Caskey. He does a good job over there. 7988 says, was Peter number one in PFF? It was actually Elik Iemanner, I believe, was the top-rated offensive player by PFF this week for the Titans.
As he should be.
That one checks out. The catch on the Ward touchdown gets a lot of the headlines, and especially because the Titans ran up to the line and had to run a play to make sure that didn't get reviewed. But that catch on the sideline was ridiculous. And I still don't know if he got his feet down. I'm still not 100% sure that he came down in bounds. Doesn't matter. Counts in the stat sheet. But that was a ridiculous catch by Elik Iemanner.
I don't want to say when he fell. I don't want to say his elbow hit. We're not going to bring that up again. But, like, he held it against his helmet, and he was falling down. Like, I think some other body part.
If they had taken a long look at it, I think they would, kind of like the Gunnar Helm review in Denver, I think they could have found some movement of the ball, and they would have overturned it, but Titans did a good job. Cam Ward hurried him to the line. He threw an incomplete pass. Who cares? They scored a couple plays later. So,
And again, that's a credit to Cam Ward,
right?
Not Brian Callahan.
The awareness from Cam Ward to say, yeah, they might review that. Let's get to the line.
Yeah.
Elik Eiemanner, we'll have more to say about him later. But, yes, I believe he was the highest-graded PFF player on offense for the Titans this past week. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. The Bengals are 2-0. We just talked about them. They have to turn to Jake Browning for the next 3 months. They are along with nine other teams that are 2-0 since 1970. 64% of 2-0 teams have made the playoffs. So you got 10, six or seven of those teams are going to make the playoffs. Who maybe has overachieved to this point? I think there's a team coming to Nashville this week that would fall in that category. Since 1970, only 10% of 0-2 teams have made the playoffs. The Titans are one of the 10 0-2 teams. Don't think they'd be at the top of the list of the team to overcome a tough start. There are a few that may stand out. We'll look into those teams coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. It's getting you ready for Chasing Big Joe.
Yeah.
The intro music there.
Coming up. Noon.
I stole their anthem.
There you go. Yeah, Chasing Big Joe with Dr. Craig Nick Frazier coming up at noon. We still got you for a little over an hour and a half here on Next Man Up. We'll get back into the Titans in just a couple of minutes, but did want to look around the NFL. After week two, everyone always looks at the percentage of 2-0 teams versus 0-2 teams that make the playoffs. It does have a pretty good, it's a pretty good indicator of your success for the year. 64% of 2-0 teams make the playoffs since 1970, 10% of 0-2 teams since 1970. So, let's start with the 2-0 teams. You got 10 of them. Nick, who do you think has outperformed what they will actually do this year? I'll read through them very quickly. You got the Bills, the Bengals, the Colts, the Eagles, the Packers, 49ers, Rams, Cardinals, Chargers, and Bucks.
I think the 49ers.
Really?
Yeah, I know in the little prediction we did a few weeks ago, I had them going 13-4, but there's something about this veteran roster that I think, that, like talking about the Chiefs earlier, I think that window's closing for them.
Yeah,
because,
for sure.
I mean, obviously Brock Purdy's still a young quarterback, but not healthy. George Kittle, not healthy. I mean, you just have certain pieces to your offense and defense, too. Don't forget about that. That are just starting to just pick up injuries when you just can't have that early in the season.
Yeah, the 49ers, I think it's the most obvious closing window that you can see across the NFL. And we've talked about how easy their schedule is. Like, it is a cakewalk, if you want to call it that. Like, there are a few games that are going to be tough.
Right.
I think they play the Bucks. They play the Texans. Obviously, two games against the Rams. But they have a lot of gimmies. Like, they started Mac Jones against the Saints this past week and got the win. Who knows how long Brock Purdy's going to be out with the shoulder injury or
foot,
or is it a foot? Is it turf toe again?
Yeah, I think it is turf toe.
Yeah, it's him and Burrow, but obviously Purdy's a little less severe. But you look at that 49ers roster. Brock Purdy just signed a big extension, so you're about to be spending a lot of your salary cap money on Purdy.
Yep.
And yes, you do have a ton of talented players, but they're all getting up there in age. Trent Williams, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle. Fred Warner's still probably in the prime of his career, but he's maybe on the back end of his prime. Nick Bosa, again, still in the prime, but probably towards the back end. That window's closing for that team. This year they have an easy enough schedule they could get into the playoffs, but I agree with you, though, that maybe things could fall off for the 49ers, especially if Brock Purdy isn't fully healthy anytime soon. The Colts are the easy one. Do I just go with the Colts being the, like, they haven't punted in 2 weeks. Very impressive. Want to give props to Shane Steichen and Daniel Jones. They've done a nice job through 2 weeks. And looking at what Houston's done, Houston's 0-2. The Colts have themselves a nice little head start in the division. Yep. I just don't know if I see them making the playoffs.
Yeah. It obviously, later on in the season, if Daniel Jones starts to be the Daniel Jones of old, then that's kind of where they think the wheels fall off there. But as of right now, they look pretty good.
They do.
I can't knock them. I really can't.
I'm waiting on them to turn back into a pumpkin, but maybe they've found something with Daniel Jones. Like, we saw it last year with Sam Darnold in Minnesota, where I know Darnold had a little more pedigree than Daniel Jones did, but where it's a guy who was pretty much forgotten, left to be a backup, and ends up having a really good season.
Yeah.
I don't think the Colts are going 14-3, but could they win the division with a two-game head start? Sure.
Yeah.
It's looking more possible by the day. I don't know if I'm buying it quite yet. The other team, I don't know if I'm buying, the Arizona Cardinals. They've played the Saints and the Panthers so far, and the Panthers nearly erased, a 17-point deficit in the last 7 or 8 minutes of the game. Had a chance, got the onside kick. So I don't know if I'm buying the Cardinals yet, especially they're in a tough division where 49ers are 2-0, Rams are 2-0, Seahawks are 1-1, and their only loss was to the 49ers.
Yep.
So that's a tough division. I don't know if I'm buying the Cardinals. I would say you look at those 10 teams, and there are three based on preseason expectations that maybe don't fit in,
right.
And that would be Colts, 49ers, Cardinals. The rest of them all seem to make sense, right? Like Bills, the Bengals, yes, we don't know what they're going to be with Browning moving forward, but to say the Bengals would be 2-0 wouldn't be a massive shock.
Right.
Eagles, Packers, Rams, Chargers, Bucks. Like, those are all playoff teams. Cardinals, Colts, they're kind of the one of these things is not like the other at this point. 49ers, yet to be seen whether they can take advantage of that easy schedule.
That's fair. I mean, I'm looking at the Cardinals schedule now. I mean, minus playing the Seahawks twice and minus playing honestly, I'd say, yeah, that's practically it for me. Minus playing the Seahawks twice and the Packers, they have a winnable schedule. Like, I think they can beat the 49ers while all their guys are out for the most part. Lose to Seattle on Thursday Night Football, beat the Titans. Like, that's doable. Colts, like we're talking about, it's a doable win there. Lose to the Packers. Cowboys, that's a toss-up. Maybe lose to the Seahawks again. But then they play the Jags, 49ers again. Bucks would be a tough one. Rams would be a tough one. But, like, I think they're a wild card team.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
No, I agree with you. I think the Cardinals are they definitely have what it takes to be in the mix. They could be a wild card team, but I'm in wait and see mode, I think, with the Cardinals.
That's fair. They just need to fix up that defense a little bit, the back end of it.
The one thing that stands out to me is there are two things. Buffalo, first of all, I think Buffalo might cruise to the one seed in the AFC. They got a 2-game lead on the Chiefs now. They've already beaten the Ravens, so they have the tiebreaker with them. They're a game up on the Ravens. I think Buffalo might cruise, especially with how easy that division is looking. Like, the Jets aren't good. Buffalo blew them out on Sunday. The Dolphins, we've talked about how horrible the Dolphins are. And the Patriots were in a dogfight with the Dolphins and lost to the Raiders the week before. Buffalo might have the best record in football, and I don't think it'll be all that close. So I think Buffalo might run away. The other thing is, we talked about the Chiefs, and they are the perennial champions of the AFC West. Chargers have a 2-game lead on them now and already have beaten them once. So they're in the driver's seat for the tiebreaker. Could we finally see a changing of the guard in the AFC West? Chargers have looked pretty good through 2 weeks.
Yeah. A changing of the guard in that division, maybe. As for a changing of the guard as a whole in the playoffs,
right?
Probably not.
Nope. No, I agree. I agree, and we're going to get more into the Chiefs coming up next. 10-0-2 teams, and just like we went through with the 2-0 teams, a lot of them make sense, and we'll look through those. I mentioned 64% of 2-0 teams make the playoffs since 1970, so that means out of these 10, 3 or 4 of them would likely miss the playoffs. It's different every year, so all 10 of them could make it. 5 of them could make it, but on average, about 6 or 7 of these 10. And we went through it. I think Cincinnati makes sense to miss the playoffs, having lost Joe Burrow. I'd pick Indianapolis. And even though, like you said, Arizona, I think maybe better than expected this year,
they're on the fringe.
I would probably pick them to miss it too. But outside of that, I think you got a lot of division winners in there. Buffalo, Philly, Green Bay, Los Angeles, Tampa Bay. Like, that, a lot of them make sense. Look at the 0-2 teams. There are a few that stand out. We will get into those coming up next. Who could return from 0-2 and make the playoffs? Again, only 10% of those teams have done it since 1970. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, we're with you on this Tuesday. Next man up here on 102.5. Next man up, 102.5, the game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Nice choice from Parker here. We're going to see who can start from the bottom and get here, being the playoffs. As 10 teams are 0-2. Only 10% of those teams have made the playoffs in the last 55 seasons. And it works out, funny enough, we have 10 of them. So that would mean only one of these teams is going to make the playoffs. Again, it's different every year. But you look at these 0-2 teams, Nick, and a lot of them fit the bill. The Titans, of course. The Jets, Dolphins, Browns, Giants. I think the Bears may be a little bit surprising. A little bit. Like, they were in it with the Vikings. They blew it. Got blown out by the Lions. Saints, Panthers. The two that don't really make sense are two division winners from last year, the Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the easy deduction from this is if one of those teams is going to make the playoffs, it's the one with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I'd agree.
And there you go. Nice and easy. But for Houston, I did have some thoughts on the Texans after last night's game. What happened to C.J. Stroud? Like, I'm not saying he's horrible. He's not. He's definitely not bad. But the regression from year one to now has been sizable. And I'm wondering if the Texans made the wrong choice firing Bobby Slowik last year. Like, yes, Stroud took a step back last year under Slowik. But, I mean, Slowik was a huge hot head coaching candidate for a reason. I don't know if it was enough to fire him, and we don't know what went on behind the scenes, but I wonder if that's what's causing some of these issues.
Yeah, it can't be because of his S2 score. He scored so low going into the draft.
Right.
That can't be the problem. No, right. I'm just joking aside, just I don't understand why C.J. Stroud is regressed like you're talking. It doesn't make – like, the numbers are not adding up. You go at a guy like Jaden Higgins, the other wide receiver out of Iowa State.
Noel.
Noel, thank you. And you got Nico Collins, and when Tank Dell comes back from injury, like, you have an offense. I mean, don't forget Dalton Schultz either, but they have Woody Marks in the backfield along with Nick Chubb. Like, they have the assets.
Joe Mixon will be back at some point.
Right. You have the assets to make him a really good quarterback. It's almost as if DeMeco Ryans wants to evolve this Houston team into the Green Bay Packers of old, where Rodgers was a really good game manager, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because that's the vibe I get from C.J. Stroud, is that he might not be as good as he was his rookie year, and it's almost been like a regression so that they can manage the game. And even when they did that, they didn't manage the game well.
He was – last night, C.J. Stroud, like, we talk about how Cam Ward looks like the moment's not too big for him, and he looks calm, and it feels like he's always kind of in control out there. Even when there's chaos going on around him, you can see that he knows what he's supposed to do, and he knows where everybody is. Last night, C.J. Stroud just looked a little discombobulated, and it may just be a bad game. The Bucs have a pretty good defense, too. Like, don't forget that. But that screen pass towards the end of the game, where, first off, there was nobody there. Maybe somebody missed an assignment, but C.J. Stroud hit Levante David between the 5 and the 4 on his jersey. And luckily for Stroud, David dropped it. But, like, how does that happen? It felt like he was drifting in the pocket and just kind of running backwards until he found something that was going on, and then the throw was offline. Like, I don't know if I believe in Houston as much anymore, and I guess that opens things up for the Colts or the Jaguars to win the division.
Maybe. I look at a lot of these, like, quarterbacks that get drafted, and they're coming off a lot of success out of college. It's almost like the teams that draft them use that momentum into that first rookie year, and then after that, the flame burns out a little bit. Do you have that feeling
a
little bit?
It's also, you give defenses a year, a full off season of film on you,
sure.
And you get to go, you have to go out and adjust to the adjustments, because NFL defenses and NFL defensive coordinators are really, really good. And when they have that full 17 games of film on you, they find your tendencies and they make you adjust. And we've seen in the past that there are some guys who get off to really hot starts in the NFL who can't make those adjustments. And that's either talent because of them, maybe that's coaching, maybe that's the surroundings. But so far for C.J. Stroud, he has not lived up to the billing after year one, where there were people calling him a top five quarterback in the NFL after 1 year. And he was fine last year. They won a playoff game again, but it doesn't seem to be trending in the right direction for CJ Stroud.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I still think they're the second best team in the AFC South.
I still think they're the best team in the AFC South, talent-wise.
Really? Okay, yeah, I agree.
But
with that.
Like,
currently, is what
are
I mean.
They going to actually win? That remains to be seen.
Right. I think currently, talent-wise, you're right. They're the best team in the AFC South. But as for record-wise, obviously they're at the bottom of the barrel. I think they're better than the Titans and Jags. I'm still on the fringe about the Colts. Like, I know Danny Dimes could do whatever, but I'm at a loss of words just looking at this Houston team. Like, yeah. I'm right there with you. Like, where did it all go wrong for C.J. Stroud?
And the offensive line is definitely an issue. Like, that deserves part of the blame. Maybe that's a large reason why C.J. Stroud is kind of drifting, is because he expects pressure at right. this point. And you can't say Houston didn't try to fix the offensive line. They completely overhauled it, but, you know, replacing bad players with other bad players doesn't usually work. And I know they like Ursary, the tackle out of Minnesota, at left tackle, but it does seem like they kind of just swapped out a bunch of veteran players at the other spots and hoped it worked out.
Yeah, it's just you're throwing the dice at that point. You really are. It's unfortunate. I mean, I'm not trying to change the page here, but looking at some other 0-2 teams, I'm kind of liking the Giants.
Really?
If they can put Jackson Dart in at quarterback, I think they can turn their season around.
Well, see, Russell Wilson looked decent on Sunday, and then he threw just a horrible interception in overtime when they couldn't have it, and it cost them the game. Like, yeah. I mean, I do think Jackson Dart's going to get in there sooner rather than later. There's just no point for the Giants to not see what they have with him.
Yeah.
Because if he does go out there and he's horrible for the rest of the year, you're probably going to be in position to pick a quarterback. And I do have to say, we had the conversation, Nick, about how many great quarterback options there were in this upcoming draft. It's starting to thin out. Like, I get it. There's a long way to go. No need to judge all these guys based on 3 weeks in the college football season. But Arch Manning doesn't look like he's going to come out after this year. And even if he did, would he be the number one pick?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Nope.
Garrett Nussmeier probably is the favorite, but they didn't look great on offense against Florida on Saturday night.
Mm-mm.
Klubnik, need I say more?
No.
I mean, 3 games into the year, they're 1-2 and nearly lost to Troy, too. And then Sellers injured at this point. We don't really know what's going on with Lenoris. And who is the other that we had up there? Drew Aller with Penn State. They haven't played anybody yet, so I guess
still
we'll
out on
see.
That. Yeah.
We'll see. Honestly, Carson Beck's been probably one of the most impressive guys so far.
It's crazy how one offseason can change the trajectory of his draft stock. You know, after the whole Georgia stuff dropping out of everybody's favor and now back at Miami just taking care of business.
Yeah.
Good for him.
So with the Giants, it's like you start Jackson Dart, and I was going to say that you're going to be in position to pick one of those quarterbacks. The issue is, who's it going to be? There really isn't anyone standing out right now, which, again, it's why you take Cam Ward this year.
Yep.
And the Titans have liked what they saw. Skyler on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, as a suffering Titans fan, I will not listen to the excuse of the offensive line for the Texans and C.J. Stroud. I mean, the Titans' offensive line is more talented than the Texans' offensive line. But somehow Cam Ward has been sacked 11 times through 2 games.
Again, that's another lost cause of an answer. I don't have an answer for that because this is a Titans team with one of the best offensive line coach in the league. And you mentioned something earlier about Patrick Mahomes, and I think we're talking about Andy Reid and just how they do play calling.
Yeah.
I think the reason why the play calling, just a little tangent, as to why the Titans have not really had success with Cam Ward and had more sacks, I think with Kansas City, they revolve around the style of the way Patrick Mahomes plays, if that makes sense. Like the blocking. So say if Mahomes likes to improvise on a certain play and he rolls out to the right, there's going to be a sort of block differential when it comes to stuff like that. I think the Titans offensive line is just learning how to base block, if that makes sense.
I think
just stick to the basics.
You need to have some patience because offensive lines do take time to gel.
Yeah.
And with J.C. Latham being hurt, that slows that process down. It hasn't been good enough, but that doesn't mean it's not going to get better. This week would be a nice week to start getting better against a Colts team that doesn't have a Nick Benito or a Jared Verse or Byron Young or a Will Anderson, who you'll see next week. Like, maybe this could be that game where you can – a get-right game for this Titans offensive line. And they need it, and we'll see if J.C. Latham is available. First practice report coming out tomorrow. Final thoughts on the 0-2 teams here. Titans are one of them. If I had to look and say teams with a chance to make a run and make the playoffs, because, again, only 10% of 0-2 teams have since 1970. Chiefs, of course, would be the favorite, and I would pick the Chiefs if I had to pick one. Mm-hmm. Houston, just based on reputation, I think you would expect that they could be in that mix. The only other team on here that I look at and say maybe they got a chance is Chicago. That's fair. That would be a long shot. Everybody else, I expected you to be here. Titans, Jets, Dolphins, Browns, Giants, Panthers, Saints. Like, there's your draft order right there.
Yeah.
I think that's about right. Those three teams with the Chiefs, the Texans, the Bears, we'll see.
Do you think Miami can make one of those runs like they have in the past and go 9-8?
No.
Oh, okay. So you're done with them.
I think everybody's kind of done with them.
Yeah.
Mike McDaniel, Tua is getting paid too much money to be shown the door quite yet, but Mike McDaniel, I think it's a race to the finish between Brian Callahan and Mike McDaniel to see who is shown the door first. At this point,
photo finish.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have any thoughts, questions, we'd love to hear from you. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Billy says, just being an eternal optimist, if the Titans win Sunday, they're first in the division. That's not true, but that, it would be a good start. The Colts are 2-1, Titans would be 1-2. But
step in the right direction.
It would, yeah, right. A win would be great. We haven't seen one in almost 300 days, maybe more. No, little less.
Little less.
Little less. It was around Thanksgiving last year. Haven't won at home in over 300 days. The last time was the Patriots in overtime. Ryan in Florida also says Titans can still win the AFC South, just have to win out in a weak division. Sure, if you can beat your divisional opponents, I wouldn't count on it, but. I don't think the Titans are going to go 3-14 this year. I think they'll be better than that, but they're not going to be in contention to win the AFC South.
Like Big Joe says, you just have to beat three other teams.
That is true. That is the great thing about the NFL. You don't have to beat 18 teams to get into the playoffs. You just have to beat three. And right now the Colts have the lead in the AFC South at 2-0. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Wrap up hour number two. You got a Cardinals shirt on there, Nick Frazier. Baseball doesn't get enough love around here. We're going to take a quick 5 or 10 minutes to just talk some baseball because we're coming down the stretch in the MLB season, and I hate that this part of baseball season gets overshadowed so much. So we're going to give it some shine, give it some love. Coming up next, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.
What is this? Choke Cubs, choke.
Parker Kelly.
Choke Cubs, choke.
Giving some love
to
the Cubs.
What do you say? The Cubs are gonna lose today. It's not bad luck. They just suck. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna lose today.
This is top tier.
There you go,
right
Nick
here.
Frazier. I love it. In the Cardinals World Series shirt, too.
I just rally against the Cubs, man. My best friend's a big Cubs fan. Been to Wrigley Field, love the atmosphere, but
that's
Busch Stadium.
That is on my list. I have not been to Wrigley yet. I've been to Fenway. I got to get to Wrigley soon. Maybe that's a next summer type of thing. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. We are spending just a few minutes on baseball here because I don't think baseball gets enough love. And I understand we don't have a major league team around here. So obviously there's not going to be quite as much intrigue into it. But we got 2 weeks left in the regular season, and I don't think enough people are talking about how fun the next month and a half could be around baseball because it feels so wide open in both leagues. I'm a Tigers fan. Tigers could clinch the division this week, but in the AL, there's really not a favorite. Like, the Blue Jays have the best record, but you got Blue Jays, Tigers, Mariners leading the division, Houston, New York, Boston. You could get Yankees, Red Sox in a 3-game series in the playoffs in the first week. Like, that is so much fun to talk about. And then in the NL, we were just going through it. Like, the NL is loaded. All six playoff teams have a chance to go win it. The Dodgers likely going to have to play in a wild card series where three games set, anything can happen. I am fired up for postseason baseball, and I don't think it gets enough love. And I understand in the market we're in where there isn't a baseball team right here in Nashville, it's hard to get that kind of interest in it.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I'm fired up for some postseason baseball.
Look, if you're not a baseball fan and or your favorite team is not in the playoffs like mine, unfortunately, cheer for the Brewers. That's a Nashville Sounds parent club. They're one of the top teams in the NL.
Pretty much all of those players who are making plays for the Brewers, the best team in baseball, came through Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a good one. If you're a Braves fan, I mean, maybe you don't want to root for the Brewers. But, like, if your team's not in it and you're a fan of Nashville sports, Brewers are a good one. And I understand. I know Robbie has the conversation about how hockey should do as much as it can to avoid overlap with the NFL and college football. I think baseball, there's really not much you can do because baseball is literally just played in the months that you can play it.
Right.
Like, you can't play baseball outside in November and December. So there's not much you can do, but it does suck that the best season of baseball does get a little overshadowed by the beginning of football season. I feel myself like I was locked in on the Tigers all through the summer when there's nothing else going on. And then I feel like the last couple weeks, it's like, oh, crap, the Tigers are playing. Like, maybe I should watch that. And it's just because football started and my mind is elsewhere. I need to lock back in because the pennant race is always so much fun.
And then when the playoffs start, you watch a bunch of wild card games at 12:30 in the afternoon.
Right.
You're like, this is what I needed. Well, I need playoff baseball during the day.
And this is what I love about this show now is I'm in here from 9 to noon and – baseball season's going to wrap up just before Vandy women's basketball starts, and I'll be traveling and all that stuff. So during playoff season, it's like I can get home from the show and just got baseball for 6 or 7 hours, maybe more, 10 hours if they have three games going on.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
You'll get your fixing in for the day.
I am ready for some postseason baseball. As a Tigers fan since I was 7 years old, I was spoiled early on with how good those teams were with Verlander and Scherzer and Cabrera and all that. They were always in the playoffs. Went 10 years without making the playoffs, and I got a taste of it last year. I can't wait. I don't think the Tigers are going to make a run this year and win the World Series. They haven't played well lately, but there's something different about playoff baseball where the crowd's hanging on every pitch. You're hanging on every pitch. It's like regular season baseball is fun to watch. Playoff baseball is up there with playoff hockey for me.
I agree to that.
As, like, the intensity of watching these players grind out at bats and, like, one swing. Last year, Kerry Carpenter homered off Emmanuel Clase. Like,
to that, right field.
That yep. moment is just, like, there's nothing like it.
It's engraved in
there's
your brain.
There's nothing like it because baseball's such a one-on-one. You're watching these guys go at it, and when it finally breaks through, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I can't wait. I just want to give baseball some love here as we get down the stretch. We got 2 weeks left, and although the playoff races they're not great this year.
Right.
There are a couple of good ones, like the Mets are trying to hold off the Reds, and in the AL, there's a couple of teams trying to chase down whoever loses the division between the Astros and Mariners. So there's a few races, but I think the playoffs are just going to be electric this year. Likely getting a Yankees-Red Sox opening round matchup. Likely going to see the Dodgers-Mets in the opening round. Like, those are fun three-game series. And in a three-game series, it means even more every pitch.
Yes.
Because you lose, you're on the brink of elimination immediately.
You really are. And you make a great point about the Mets and the Dodgers. We talked about it during the break. Could this be the year where the Dodgers kind of slip up a little bit?
Right.
Because I'm curious to see if Lindor still has some playoff magic left in the tank. I just remember when he was playing for Cleveland, he had that home run to right field, and they just, like, caused it to be an earthquake. It was an incredible feeling.
If the Dodgers are going to lose to somebody in a three-game series, the Mets, I think, would be a bad matchup for them. Because you've got the top of that order having to face Lindor, Soto, Alonso
mm-hmm.
four times throughout a game. You're not getting through that unscathed every single time.
Nope.
So I think it's going to be a great playoffs. And, like, everybody talks about the Dodgers super team. And, yes, they won the World Series last year. But why baseball is great is because it's a round ball, it's a round bat. You could have the highest payroll and still lose because baseball just baseball sometime.
You're right.
And it's so much fun. And I can't wait. 2 weeks away, I believe 2 weeks from today is the start of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting close.
Unless the Cardinals make a miraculous 4.5 games back out of the wild card and come back, I doubt it.
It could happen. I mean, we saw the Tigers last year. They had a 0.2% chance to make the playoffs in August, and they ended up making it. So let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Edward wants to chime in on the MLB playoffs. Edward, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the show while I'm running in the mornings. I appreciate it. I want to talk a little New York Yankees baseball. I think they're half a game out. Boston, where Boston Red Sox have come from, I really don't know. So nobody's going to catch Toronto. But I want to talk a little bit about the New York Yankees. You have the greatest Yankee home run hitters of all time. Let's go with, of course, Babe Ruth. Next is Mickey Mantle. After that is Lou Gehrig. Fourth is Joe DiMaggio. Fifth is blank, and sixth is Yogi Berra. Do you know who fifth is, guys?
Is it Aaron Judge? You know
yes. Yes, it is. And he is fixing to pass Joe DiMaggio. So, who is he going to be behind then? Lou Gehrig.
Wow.
We're watching one of the greatest baseball players in the history of baseball play. I don't know if we have the appreciation of it. 6'7 or 6'8, 240 pounds, mammoth of a man. Yes, people are on Boone for how he puts things together, but Judge came back from an injury in early August, and he is going on a tear. He's fixing to get 50 home runs for this season. He will be in the 500 club. I do believe that. And one other just side note, I am an Atlanta Braves fan also. My dad used to take me down there as a kid, and I've seen Hank Aaron hit a home run now. That's one of the baseball highlights of my life. anyway, I wanted to put that out there and see what your guys thought on the Yankees advancing as far as they did last year because, of course, you know who got them in the World Series. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the call, Edward. That's a – you don't realize the greatness of Aaron Judge, and you also don't really realize how old he is. Like, he came up late with the Yankees, but he is one of the most dangerous home run hitters we've seen in a very long time, and that makes the Yankees dangerous in the postseason. I'm not that worried about the Yankees in the playoffs, mostly because I think Aaron Boone, first off, is not a great manager.
I agree.
And they boot the ball around. Like, I don't want to say the phrase, they don't play the game the right way, but that's kind of what it feels like, is they don't do the little things right, whether that's base running, whether that's defensively, the bullpen has its flaws. So, yes, the Yankees, they've got the star power. I don't know if they're going to be able to make it work in the postseason.
Yeah, they've been known to live or die by the long ball, and I think if they don't fix their Anthony Volpe situation they got going on, this team could fall into a spiral quick.
Yes.
And to Edward's point about Aaron Judge, he's absolutely right. I mean, you're looking at a guy that could potentially pass up Lou Gehrig in less than 2,000 games. He only has 1,100 games under his belt and is trailing him by 130 home runs. We're witnessing some history, for sure.
No, Aaron Judge, I don't think he gets enough flowers for what he's done over the last 5 to 10 years as one of the best home run hitters of this era of baseball. Like, he is so dangerous when he steps up to the plate. And again, that's what the Yankees do have, the bats to keep up with anybody. The pitching has its moments. Like, Rodon's good. Freed can be good. Luis Gil is back from injury and, you know, working his way back. But I just don't know if I believe in them. I like the Red Sox, honestly. Like, they've got the ace in Crochet. They've got the back end of the bullpen, and they've got a lot of young talent. I think the Red Sox could be a team that sneakily makes a run in the AL. 615-737-1025. Quick thoughts on baseball there. Don't worry, Titans fans. We are going to get back into the Titans here coming up next. We mentioned the wide receivers earlier in the show. Calvin Ridley an underwhelming start, to say the least, this season. Bad game against the Broncos. Kind of a meh game against the Rams on Sunday. Is he going to step up soon? Or do we see Alec Iemanner passing him as wide receiver one in front of our very eyes early in his career? We'll get into it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.